What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And on The Stack, we talk about a couple of books that came out this very Wednesday. Six of them, to be precise. I hope you've already gone to the comic book store. I hope you've already read the books, because we're going to spoil the ever-living look out of them, right?
Wow. Oh, man. Epic.
Yeah. Way to bleep yourself. Don't say
this
shit.
This is going to be... You know?
It's very light beeping.
What the fuck are you doing?
If you say it really hot, if you say the word, but you say it high, like in a high register.
Oh, don't censor yourself,
I thought
man.
You were into drugs now. I thought like you were really into drugs.
No, I am. I love eating drugs. Let's talk about some of the comic books we're going to talk about. You guys want to kick it off talking about Weapon H number one?
Hells yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up.
We're done with Weapon X. It's time to move on to a more fun letter. H. All my favorite words start with H.
Heck yeah.
Yeah,
so
dude.
This is heck. A hell of a combo.
It's a hell of a combo. Time.
So you've got... What if Hulk and Wolverine were kind of both mutated together?
So I have a question about this because I don't know anything about comic books. Did they have a baby together?
Nope.
Is this like a junior situation?
Nope. It's
which
actually
one of them
explained
had the baby?
In the comic book if you read it.
I didn't bother to read it necessarily. Okay. Was the Hulk the mom or was the
maybe
Wolverine?
Maybe it's a My Two Dad situation.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, try not
maybe
to
it's
be
like
so
a three men and a baby situation.
That could be, except it's two men and one body.
Oh, there we go. No, of course not. I know what's going on. This is a spinoff of Weapon X by Greg Pak. He is still writing
amazing
this book.
Amazing writer.
Yeah, and this is coming off the Weapons of Mass Destruction. That's not exactly what
I think
what
that's
it was called?
Actually correct.
Okay. I thought it was like Weapons of Hulk Destruction or Weapons of X Destruction or something. It's not. Anyway, somebody cloned a super soldier into Hulk and Wolverine DNA, and now he's wandering the wilderness trying to control his powers. Greg Pak knows what he's doing with this stuff. He's been writing Hulk for years. He has a handle on it. He knows if you're going to do this, you're going to have to set it up with the character going into the snowy wilderness and fighting a Wendigo, because that's what you do in a Hulk title.
Also,
it's combining your two favorite things, like how the biathlon combines cross-country skiing and shooting targets.
Yes, he's written Hulk, but he's also writing Weapon X right now, so he also has written Wolverine.
He's
so
steeped in this universe. He's like, the Hulk is big. Wolverine has
but
claws.
What's interesting about
story.
This character, it's not like, you know, because Wolverine doesn't walk around and then transform into Wolverine like the Hulk turns. This guy walks around normal and then transforms into the Hulk Wolverine.
Yeah, that is a big change.
It's.
I mean, technically, Wolverine walks around normally and then pops his claws and transforms.
Did you know
Wolverine.
When they originally introduced the character, when Stan Lee wrote him, he was mild matter Wally Vereen, and then he got bitten by a radioactive Wolverine and gained the strength, speed, and ability of a Wolverine.
Yeah, no one talks about how every character in the Marvel Universe, when Stan Lee conceived them, was all about an animal biting them. Which, it was like, the crazy part is that a radioactive America bit Captain America.
I know,
which,
when it was like,
Delaware bit the shit out of Captain America, turned into a Captain America.
That's how we got the water cap.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, this book this book is fun. It's a new character. I will say I want to know what is beyond this sort of standard, like, I hate this burden that I have.
But I thought it was a cool kind of, like, ode to kind of Wolverine a little bit, because it's like anytime you have Wolverine up in snowy, mountainous, he's going to run into Wendigo. So I was like...
Well, but that
he
was the
better
first,
run into Wendigo.
That was the original introduction of Wolverine in the Hulk comic book, was the two of them fighting and then teaming up to fight the Wendigo. So it makes a lot of sense to throw it in there. I agree with you. I trust Greg Pak, though, to really ramp it up and make it insane. Already, I like the pacing of the book a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the way that they slowly reveal Weapon H is fun. It's such a silly idea. They know it's a silly idea, but they're playing with it, and I'm looking forward to see where they take it.
Love the human jerky was fun.
Interesting twist. I mean, he has a family, so it's like this guy's being a deadbeat dad right now. You know, it's like his... poor families, you know, like fending for itself while he's off living the life of a monster, you know?
That's a great, we're aging comic book fans, and the twist that he's a family intrigues you. That's fun.
Nice. Let's move on with our first Image comic, Kill or Be Killed, number 17. Justin, you're a huge fan of this
Fan of this.
I love this book. This book is...
really putting yourself out there.
Yeah. Real I'm going to marry this
brave book. Choice to be like, oh, I love this book.
Why are you down on that? This book isn't the number one book.
It's like an acclaimed book. I mean, anytime Brubaker teams up with this guy, it's a classic.
Yes, they're a good team. You were literally like, they combine Hulk and Wolverine. I love it. No one can doubt me. And now you're shitting on me for just liking a good book.
No, I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, wait, Pete, I will pay you $5 right now if you name the artist of this book.
Oh, shit. Confronted right now. Take a second. Think about it. I like the way, though, he's really pushed.
Sean Murphy.
Oh, no. That is so close.
You're so
close.
No. You got one guess. It's Sean Phillips.
Sean Phillips.
One thing I will say, you are right when Sean Phillips and Ed Brubaker work together. It is magic.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that this book is not getting the same level of acclaim of their other collaborations, and it absolutely should.
And I actually think this is like a more complex and layered book. Like the other books in their sort of oeuvre have a very particular take or are in like literally like the criminal film noir genre or not film noir, but just noir genre and or like 1940s Hollywood.
Well, but yeah, the film noir, because there was the Fade Out was literally out. Film noir.
Yeah, about the film world fatale was great. But this is like a new, they're creating a sort of new take on that genre or just sort of a side split off that. And it's just really, the writing is stunning in this.
If you're not reading the book, it initially is about a guy who starts seeing this demon who tells him you have to kill somebody in 30 days or you're going to die. And so he becomes this vigilante who is killing people in the city. He slowly learns how to become a vigilante. He slowly learns how to kill people.
That's the dream.
But he might be insane, and it keeps flashing back, and he's definitely an unreliable narrator throughout. Right now in this arc, he's in an insane asylum, and we see him getting a little bit of that mojo back in terms of figuring out, okay, you know what? I just like being a vigilante. But there's a sequence in this middle of this book that takes place in the snow that is gorgeous. Yeah. Beautifully colored, beautifully drawn.
It's like stressful. Also, worth mentioning, the back matter, Ed Brubaker runs a great, his like editorial page, and then they always do a breakdown of a great movie in the noir tradition from a guest writer, and that's super cool.
Cool. Let's turn to our first young animal book. Cave Carson Has an Interstellar Eye, number one. This is from DC Comics, Young Animal imprint, as we mentioned. This book is crazy.
And I got to say, we talked about Eternity Girl, I think, last week. And these books are wild. They take wild choices, make wild choices, take wild risks. And this one, like, I don't know exactly what's going on here, but it feels like... Casanova, Matt Fraction's book.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
And in a great way, both it's Michael Avon Oeming on art, and it's like who you may know from his collaborations with Bendis. Like, it's really fun art, and at least an interesting story if you don't exactly know what they mean.
That's the thing. To be honest, I had a little bit of a hard time hanging on to the story. It has something to do with this guy, Cave Carson, who has a scientific/magical eye that goes on weird adventures. He meets an old friend who is becoming the size of a universe and slowly imploding, and they need to put him to rest or then escape from it. I guess that's what the story is. But like you said, Michael Avon Oeming's art is beautiful, and the layouts are beautiful and just so fascinating to look at that this is one of the rare books where I felt like I was reading it for the art even more than the writing.
Yeah, and that is very rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting premise. I'm very much on board. It does get a little weird for my taste, but I very much enjoyed this book.
You have a glass eye, so that must have been cool to see. Like some.
No, I don't have a glass eye. But
you have both those eyes are real?
Yeah, both of them are. But what's funny is this character...
What about your hands? Your hands are glass, though, right?
This character reminds me of you.
Oh, you have glasses. You have glasses. That's why you have glass eyes.
That's what it is.
Yeah, this character reminds me of you because it's like when you're in a room with you're in the room with you, and then also your giant ego. So like,
you know. Really went along.
All right, let's turn to something totally normal from Image Comics. Ice Cream Man number 3. This is a nice book about a guy who likes to bring ice cream to people, and they enjoy the ice cream, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, that sort of sums it up. Oh, well, there is like a horrible existential loss, tragedy, fulfilling your dreams, and then realizing that it's all just an illusion that is in the end meaningless.
Yeah, man, I don't know
why do you make us read these fucking creeped out.
No, I actually love this story.
This book is so good.
So good. This one's about a one-hit wonder from the 60s and how his absolutely famous his song was. And then he's fallen to pieces. He sits in a diner all day. Ice Cream Man comes in, gives him an ice cream cone, and he's ushered into sort of a rock and roll heaven where they're doing battle against this great evil, and it's up to him to save the day. We see all like personifications of famous classic rock songs like Eleanor Rigby and others. And then he wakes up at the end, and none of it ostensibly happened.
No, he did. He saved the world, but nobody else knows.
You believe that?
That's your interpretation. That. The thing... I cannot get a handle on what this book is, and I love that. Like, the first issue was straight up horror.
Yep.
The second issue was just kind of sad
that kid
romance.
Oh, man.
And then this issue, each of them had this kind of like low level of horror and terror, and you not knowing what's going on. Tension. I think, that's a great way of putting it. Where even when you're in this rock and roll fantasia, it's still like, what's going to go wrong? Oh, God, something's going to go wrong. And at the end of this thing, the guy that they're battling is the Ice Cream Man, the one who granted him the ability to go to this rock and roll fantasia. But it's also grappling, like you said, with a lot of ideas about art. Like, will you be able to channel this thing that made you so good that one time, or was that the only time you were going to be able to do it? And that's it. Is it's really sad. It's terrifying emotionally in a different way. The art by Martin Morazzo, I think that's how you pronounce his name, and the colors are by Chris O'Halloran, are beautiful. They remind me of Frank Quitely a lot.
Yes,
but it entirely its own art, and this is one of the most unique books on the stand right now.
Totally.
Yeah, it's really creepy, and it's like I enjoy it, but I also don't.
Yeah, like you used to love ice cream, and this book has made you hate it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yeah.
Let's turn to one of the most fun books of the week, Thor number 705 from Marvel Comics.
Fuck you for saying that.
Pete was reading this, and he was laughing up a storm. He was just having
the best time. I cried throughout the whole fucking issue.
So out of your glass eye? Those are real tears.
No. He has glass feet. He's glass feet.
Oh, that's right. Glass jaw for sure.
Yeah. So Thor is dying. Jane Foster Thor is dying. She made a choice last issue. If she picked up Mjolnir, the hammer, one more time, she would absolutely die of cancer. And she decided, no, it's too important. I have to save the universe. Mangog, who is an unstoppable force, is attacking Asgardia and setting into the sun. So she picks up her hammer. This issue essentially is one enormous battle sequence, but it's beautifully drawn.
Yes.
It shows the anarchy and the terror of battle in the broken panels. You get all the emotion of Jane Foster giving up her life to save Asgard. And, I mean, spoilers, she dies at the end.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the way that she went out?
Jason Aaron, this has been years in the making. It's just been stunning, this whole thing. His ability to pace this story out and really tell it on his terms has been amazing. And to see this, one of the last issues with this character has been just great.
Yeah, it's so powerful. Also, what I'm so happy with is how Thor, the dude Thor, looks in this book, is just fantastic. And, you know, the fact that he kind of realizes what's happening and is kind of the reader in this is such a fun choice. It's this whole issue is so powerful. The stuff that she gives up and sacrifices for us, you know, for the universe.
And it's just, it's a great battle sequence as well. Yeah. If you're looking for that in a comic book, it's absolutely stunning. Let's move to our last comic book from DC Comics, Batman number 43. We talk about every issue of this, but only because every issue is so very good. Mm-hmm. This is the third part of the Poison Ivy arc. Poison Ivy has taken over the entire world, and we finally get down to it in this issue as Batman and Catwoman, the only free people in the entire world, finally figure out a way to beat Ivy, and it's real emotional and real rough to read.
We talk about Tom King all the time, and just the way he like just unlocks these stories and unlocks these characters is what is so amazing. Like, it feels like the odds are so stacked against Batman and Catwoman, mm-hmm. and the way they find a solution and just work it through in a legitimately caring way. Like, it's not a fight where Batman has to just beat up a bunch of people or a bunch of like plants or whatever. He legitimately is concerned about Poison Ivy, and they find a way to help her and save the world at the same time.
Yeah, the other thing that I think is kind of great is this is something that they dropped in the Harley Quinn book that Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Conner are writing, is they confirm the fact that Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy love each other. Like, they're in a relationship. I wish they would come out and actually say it. You know, they're still a little coy about it in this issue.
Yeah, I thought it was sort of unsaid in a way that I
like the fact, like, they're pushing the envelope there. I understand it's DC Comics, it's mainstream comics. They can't totally come out and say it, but the fact that they all but come out and say it, at least it's nice to see that's continued and nice to see them continue to push it down the field until somebody actually says it, which would be nice. But like you said, that the fact that they build it on love, that ties into the whole thing that's going on with Catwoman and Batman getting married. The art is stunning by Mikel Janin. Yeah. The one gripe that I have is that Batman is like 3,000 times bigger than Catwoman. He just has the widest chest I've ever seen in my life. But it's great. It's so good. I would actually like
to work on those pecs, man.
He's just going to work on pecs, dude. Don't be jealous of Batman.
Probably has glass pecs. What do you think?
Yeah. I think that's a great
I would actually, just based on this issue, I would like to see this guy draw Superman, because his Superman is awesome.
But I tell you what's also great about this book is this is a perfect example of Batman using his head in a really tough spot. But also, like, if this is how the book is going to move forward with Batman doing things with care and love and like working together with Catwoman, I am not going to get tired of that. That is phenomenal.
You like it? Well, the book's going to be, they're changing the title to Care Man coming forward.
Care Bears.
Yeah.
Care Bears, yeah.
Fuck you for ruining my point, you fucking dick.
I didn't ruin it. I was supporting it by saying it's going to be Care Man.
No.
That's a breaking
news
here.
You undercut
the breaking news
beauty I was
club.
Trying to bring to this.
Were you, you were spitting straight poetry?
No.
Okay.
If you would like to support this show and other shows, we do patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in New York at the Pit Loft. That's totally free. Come on down. Also, we do a bunch of other podcasts you should check out. Riverdale After Dark, which is a Riverdale podcast. After Krypton, which is a Krypton podcast. Inside Legion, which should be coming back soon. That's a Legion podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Inside Baking, which is our baking podcast.
Yeah, if you guys have a TV show you want us to get inside it, let us know and we'll do it.
Inside Big Bang Theory.
Let's get in. Those guys represent us.
Yeah, and, of course, After Kevin Can Wait. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for the podcast and more. And we'll see you in your glass eyes next time.
Look Pete in the eyes, people.